All right, what can I say? I'm just going to get into this. A lot to talk about. It is the news, according to me. Well, good afternoon. I know it is Tuesday already. Tuesday afternoon. It is 4:25, something like that, Eastern Standard Time. It is 3:21, I think, wherever I am, Central Time. I am in Fayetteville, Arkansas area, Northwest Arkansas area. Currently at the moment, and I'm sorry that I was unable to get a show in until now for this week. There's a whole lot of things going on. Tomorrow is going to be extremely busy, by the way. I will probably not even have a chance to do a show tomorrow. Probably won't be home until evening time tomorrow, and I will be traveling like crazy. I start in the morning, and I end up traveling about all day long. I will be in D.C. for a short period of time, for a few hours tomorrow. Hopefully long enough to get some Chick-fil-A, and then that'll be tomorrow morning. I'm hoping to get in there early enough to get some breakfast, but I don't think I will. I leave out of here early in the morning. I get in there in the morning. I think it'll be lunchtime by the time I get there, which I was hoping for some breakfast. I kind of like their breakfast there. I'm not going to get breakfast here because I'm leaving so early. So anyway, the plan is to get in there tomorrow. There won't be time to do a show, unfortunately. However, there are some interesting and I think exciting things happening, possibly happening with the format of the show, which if I can get this worked out, the details of this whole thing worked out, it may actually be a huge thing that will help other podcasters as well. So I'm hoping to actually do something that's scalable and marketable and have an effect on the podcasting market out there in general, because I believe that I have some innovative ideas that I may be able to implement. And if I can get this done on my podcast, then it's definitely doable on other people's podcasts, and all I have to do is wrap it up in a little package, put a bow on it, and sell it for $1 million a pop. And that way, I would only need to sell, 15 or 20 of them, and I'd be pretty well set. I'm hoping to be able to put something together that other podcasters can use, make it affordable to actually host for them as well. So, this, working out all the details on that, I probably will not even really talk much about it, other than just to one day it's just going to show up on the show. And hopefully, just wow everybody with the way this show is going to go because of the things that we're going to be adding to the show. Now, that said, there's some things I want to get into today's show. It's not going to be a super long show here, but I want to get this out and get it posted. Quite a few things happening, of course, the issues with what's going on in Minnesota, Minneapolis, that kind of thing. I do want to talk about this whole thing that happened with the invasion of a church in Minneapolis. Unfortunately, the parishioners there it was just a typical church, just kind of a hometown, kind of nice people kind of church, which is fine. This is probably why I'm not a pastor, because I would not have tolerated what they were doing. There would have been serious charges pressed. I can't tolerate that. It's not something it's in me to tolerate. When people come into a sanctuary, this is a sanctuary. It is a place where people come to, they don't come to argue. They don't come to, we do have arguments in the church, that's fine, whatever. Disagreements within the church family. We have those issues that we have to deal with. It's family arguments. It's not something where somebody's coming in and just pushing their agenda, yelling and screaming, disrupting a service. This is very different situation. The church, the Christian church is not just an open source for people to just come in and start protesting and yelling and shouting down people. It's just not, that's, you're trespassing at that point. There's a thing called sanctuary. It is a legal term. And of course, these people are not respecting of that, or they're respecting of anything. Coming in and pretending to be saying, accusing other people of not being Christians because they're phony Christians and this and that. Well, I want to get into that a little bit as I go on with this thing, because there's a lot to be said about this whole thing. I do want to talk about it because it is a serious accusation for someone to make. I When I see people who are phonies, and I call them phonies, I typically will not call them phonies because they are, I'm not talking about their faith typically. Now, there are some people out there I will talk about, sometimes I talk about faith issues, and sometimes I talk about people who are not, they're phony people, they're believers, as far as believers go, they're phony. Now, I want to be very careful with that because I do not want to stand in judgment of that kind of thing. When I want to talk about people being phony, I'm talking about their character. And I'm not talking about what they believe or how sincere they are in their faith or what. Now, I could talk about their doctrine, their ideology all day long. I can criticize that all I want, but I'm not putting that person in a place of saying whether or not they are a believer. Now, if they're not believing things that are, if they're part of a cult or that kind of thing, I'm going to call out the cult and call out what they believe. Do I believe that there will be Mormons in heaven? I don't know. I know it's possible. It is possible that a person who's a member of a Mormon church might actually be in heaven. I don't know. It's not for me to decide that, but I'm saying that their doctrine is not the Christian faith. Jehovah's Witnesses, you are not. I'm sorry. If you're a listener, I've got to tell you the truth. Jesus is not just the brother of Satan. He wasn't just a creation of God. He was the incarnation, the God's own and only, God's only flesh and blood, his only son. So there you go. That's what I'm going to say about that. But he was fully, the whole reason he was persecuted, the whole reason he was crucified, the whole reason that the Sanhedrin, the whole reason that everything happened to him the way it did was because they knew that he was calling himself equal with God. He could have said, oh, no, you misunderstood me. I'm not God. He could have said that any time he wanted. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not God. I'm not the anointed one. I'm not the Christ. He could have said that. Cleared it all up. Didn't do that. Because he couldn't. Because he had to tell you the truth. Truth is what it is. Now, there are people, I've run into people several times, many, many times, who do not believe that the personality of who Jesus was, or who the Messiah was, Yeshua, Mashiach, that he couldn't have been God. I've had plenty of those kinds of conversations, and that people do disagree with that. They can disagree all day long. It's fine. You're wrong, but I'm just going to say that. Now, having said all that, I want to make sure you understand. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. This is all for your entertainment only. And the opinions that I express here are simply my opinions, and what you do with them is your own business. So yeah, but I have some issues here with what happened in this church. Now, aside from that, you got Don Lemon, who's kind of the sideshow whack job that's a part of this whole thing. Everybody's making a big deal out of him being there. I don't really care. Don Lemon is they're just making Don Lemon out to be bigger than he actually is. Don Lemon's out there messing around. The only reason that this whole thing got live streamed and everything that happened to it the way it did was because they invited Don Lemon to do it. They've been very clear about their affiliation with certain news organizations and everything else that's going on with these groups that are doing this stuff. By the way, Greg Gutfeld, I think, had one of the best commentaries on this. He was challenging Jessica Karloff, whatever her name is, the wacko who has kind of taken over Juan's job there on the five and on whatever it is. The Gutfeld show. This is a rescue. What do you call it? Rescue. derangement. It's a deranged rescue mentality that these people think that they have to rescue. They're in some kind of position where they can rescue these people. So one ICE agent finally just pulled up on one of these guys, rolled his window down, and said, "Do you realize the person we're trying to get is a child predator? This is the person you're protecting. It's a child molester, a child predator." And it's that he goes, "I just want you to know that's who you're protecting here." That's how ridiculous this is. So while they're talking about all this stuff, and while all this is happening, of course, they don't care. They see themselves as being the ones who have transcended and somehow are the righteous ones, the ones who will serve justice no matter what. And these evil Christians are out there. Now, there are some denominations, folks, that I have been a part of in the past. I've been affiliated with as I was growing up, as a kid, as a young man. The reason I'm not affiliated with them anymore is because of the upper echelon, I'm not even sure what an echelon is, but the upper part of the management, the organization, the leadership of those organizations, the institutions such as the seminaries, would fit right in with these people. And it's amazing how when it came to basic fundamental, not fundamentalist as a Jerry Falwell kind of fundamentalist, but fundamental Bible believing, evangelical, I guess you might want to call it. I'll be careful with those kinds of boxes as well, but the fundamental beliefs of Scripture, the tenets of Scripture. And just, you know, the basics of what we believe and what the foundation of the faith is. Now, we have a lot of people out there who will stand and accuse Christians of all kinds. They love to do that on the left, by the way. They will, you know, "Well, Christians, you're a Christian. You shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that." They'll quote Scripture when it's convenient for them to condemn the Republicans or to condemn someone else. Let me remind you of something. This is a manifestation of a spirit. I don't know if it's not clear to you. Let me make this perfectly clear. The one who stands before God and accuses the brethren all day long. This happens usually on a personal level with most people. You get these feelings of condemnation. You get these words of condemnation. This feeling like you're not good enough. You're not capable. You're a disgrace. You're not a good believer. You're not actually whatever it is. Look at the sin you've committed. You're never going to be. You can never be, you know, right with God because of the sin you've committed, that you've gone too far, whatever it is. That the enemy is the one who does that, stands before the brethren. Now, there's a time for prophetic words to be hoisted to the church and to society. But these words have got to have a meaningful ending. There has to be hope sowed into them. They still have to be seasoned with grace. And that is not what these people are about. This guy, I'm hoping to have some audio pulled together of some of the things that this one guy was saying in this church. He was in there and yelling and screaming and saying, you know, accusing these people of certain things. It's just the old ladies, children, everything else that were there. They ended up leaving the church service because of what was going on. Apparently, I think there was possibly some affiliation with this guy's, the pastor's name and some ICE agent's name, I think. I don't know if that was this particular case. I know there was another case where there was one case at least, and it might have been this one, where they believe that the pastor was actually an ICE agent or part of the immigration system or whatever it was. But all the, you know, most of these people that were in this church were white, and most of them were dressed well. And of course, they were being accused of, you know, while you're eating well and while you're living a nice, comfy life, there are people, your brothers are being, you know, taken off the street and put in concentration camps and they're starving to death. First of all, they're not starving to death, by the way. And they're not in concentration camps. they're being deported pretty quickly after they get picked up. And I've seen video of what's going on inside these camps, and I tell you what, inside these holding facilities where they process everybody. Pretty comfy living, actually. They're not going without anything. They have health care, they have food, they have sleeping quarters, everything they need. Now, here's the real problem that I see. The politicians who will not, by the way, if those churches would have called the police, the police probably would not have shown up. Because the police have been basically asked to stand down, and they're going along with those orders, which I think are unlawful orders because they swore an oath to uphold and defend their constitutions, and that's not, they didn't swear an oath to uphold and defend whatever it is that Tim Walz says. They didn't swear an oath to him, to the governor. They swore an oath to the people. They're there to protect the people, and anybody who's out there who was expecting protection from the machine that we institute upon us, it's supposed to be there to protect the people, not the other way around. It's not supposed to be there to protect to work on behalf and the whim of the. And now you might say, well, that's what Trump is doing. Trump is sending out. He's got his agenda. And by the way, they're saying, first of all, no, they're enforcing the law. It's a law on the books. You want to go protest someplace, protest at the house where they're making the laws, the place where they're making the laws. Don't be protesting the people who are just out there trying to do their everyday job. Think that you're somehow some righteous vigilante serving justice passionately. So again, the governor and the mayor, in tandem, doing what they're doing, are simply subverting the rule of law. It's the reason it's called the rule of law. And they don't care. You don't hear them saying anything. Now, Tim Walz was actually, have him on video saying that ICE is going to start showing up at churches and disrupting services, and it's showing up at mass and that kind of thing. And what's actually happening in churches here? When you have the other side of the issue going in and doing things, wonder what that's all about. And why haven't we heard anybody condemn that? The mayor hasn't condemned it. The governor hasn't condemned it. Don Lemon was right there and didn't condemn it. He actually was saying, well, this is what it's all about. This is what we should be making people feel uncomfortable about all this. They should feel uncomfortable. That's the whole point. I'll try to play some of this audio of some of the things that have happened, some of the statements that have been made. Of course, now Don Lemon is trying to back off some of this stuff. Because he knows if he's complicit in this, he could be prosecuted just like the rest of them. I think he should be. I think everybody that went in there did what they were doing, especially the leader, need to see some jail time for what they did. And you might say, well, what law did they break? Oh, law, it's a public place because it's a church. It's a church. It's everybody's church. It's a church. Try that in a mosque. There's protections on religious freedoms for a reason. When you impose upon those religious freedoms, which they did, that's exactly what they did. They took away their civil rights. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm pretty sure that's a pretty severe punishment for that.
Well, it's okay when people protest. They can protest anywhere. That's just what protest is all about.
Okay, well, people were protesting on January 6th as well. But everybody who was there was considered to be an insurrectionist. So that's where we're at. That's where we're at with this stuff. Now, I want to talk a little bit about something passionate. What's in my cup? I do have a cup of chai here, hot chai. Middle of the afternoon. I haven't had my chai yet today, so I was saving it just for this show. In my backup thermos, I have Chick-fil-A sweet tea. from yesterday. It's actually not from today yet. I'm hoping to get over to a Chick-fil-A. I think there's a Chick-fil-A near me here at this, or this location. I don't, the hotel looks, I know I've been here before at this hotel, but I cannot remember exactly what is around here. I was thinking that there were some things around that maybe I got mixed up. I don't know. So I'm trying to remember where, I thought there was a Chick-fil-A here. That's where I'm kind of planning on eating if, Chick-fil-A, 207 miles, nope, how about Chick-fil-A nearby, how about that? I don't see anything, Chick-fil-A search nearby, it's just search, I don't know what I'm going to do about that. there's other places around to eat as well, and I may go to any of those, I guess, at this point. In the meantime, no search results, well that's nice, that's really nice. Figure that out later. This is what's bothering me the most about this whole thing is the way the politicians have come out now and not been willing to speak out against it and not to take a stand against it. The hypocrisy is beyond belief. Now they're coming out after the Trump administration saying they're possibly going to persecute these people, these folks. Prosecute. Well, yeah, it's more prosecution than persecute, I guess. So it's kind of an interesting dilemma that they're running into up there. Now they have found more fraud. There's more people. There's a guy out in I think it was out on the West Coast has found I think it was a health organization. It might have been autism. I can't remember what it was exactly for sure, but he found 20 or 30 of these health facilities, children's health facilities of some kind, in one particular building where there is no, I think it was in-home care, some kind of thing. There's nobody in the building. They're also finding voters that are registered to vote that are in certain addresses where there's no property. I mean, the property that's there, there's nobody living there. It's not a livable property. That's in like a big warehouse or a big field, open field. There's a lot of citizen journalists right now trying to taking it upon themselves to go out there and do some investigation on them to their own because they realize the news media basically is just sitting behind a computer, just typing out whatever they see. I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator. I have a lot of comments on news that I see coming across my feed here. And like I said, the show's going to change a little bit. I don't know how soon. I'm hoping before the end of the month. That's pretty quick, actually. I don't know how that's going to be possible or not. I know that by the first week of February. I do have a week off in there between January and February. I basically have about an eight or nine day span of time off. And I have a couple of, when I'm traveling, I have a couple of downtime. In fact, this evening is going to be one of those. I'm gonna have quite a bit of time this evening to hopefully get some things ironed out and get some workflow going so I can get this I'm basically working on an application, and it's an app that podcasters can use. I've had a lot of brainstorm ideas over the last week, and I just putting together some things that I think are going to be possibly life changing for some podcasters because of the way it's going to change their show. We're going to find out first if it's going to work on mine, and I'm going to try it out for 30 days. Kind of do a run a test and see what it looks like and see how it does and try to get the show going a little bit more. It's just going to add a certain edge to the show that I think is going to be quite phenomenal. Right now I'm trying to work out some of the details. It's going to be easier to do from my home studio than it will be on the road. However, I think I can do it on the road as well. So we're going to try to work on all those things. Go from there. In the meantime, In other news, other things, there's a cold snap in the world here today. I was in Yuma, Arizona last night, where I was out walking around, and of course it was about 75 degrees when I first got there. I ended up going for a walk. I ended up going for a jog in my shorts. It was 72 degrees out. I had a t-shirt and shorts. I actually was working up a sweat running around. It felt really good though to get out and run like that. I was up and down some hills there. Yuma's an interesting town. It's a very interesting town. I ended up, there's an awful lot of RVs there. Phoenix area. All of Arizona is kind of an area where kind of the snowbirds go in the wintertime. So they take their motorhome, people who live in their motorhomes, they go down there. But it was definitely an experience to see, how many motorhomes and trailers and vans, van life people are down there. And it was an interesting. But so this morning I got up from there. It was 47 degrees there when I got up there this morning. We left pretty early there this morning. And now I'm in Arkansas. So or Fayetteville. Yeah, that's where we're in Arkansas. So now, anyway, in the meantime, there's cold everywhere, and it was 4 degrees in my house last night, I believe. Very, very, I'd say bitter cold. Hopefully it warms up before I get home tomorrow afternoon. I think tomorrow evening I'll be getting home. Hopefully it'll be a little warmer for a couple of days. I don't know whether it will be or not for sure, but hopefully it will be. Got some projects I'm working on at the house. One of the things that I'm going to try to work on. There's this new thing. It's just totally off the subject of politics here. But I want to talk about this a little bit. I've discovered these little things. They're called diesel heaters, and what they do is they there's a diesel preheater, which works great on diesel vehicles when you already have a diesel tank. My motorhome, of course, has a diesel tank in it, and it actually is very comfortable. It has propane. It can, you can run the propane furnace. It heats the place pretty well. Does a pretty good job. Of course, motorhomes are not necessarily known for, and travel trailers in general are not necessarily noted for, at least the older ones are not noted for being extremely well insulated. However, it's fairly decent. This one has a decent roof on it, so it's got a really decent over top thing. However, it is, they tend to be a little chilly. Now, the windows aren't, the most high efficiency, all that kind of stuff. But you can get them warm. However, the nice thing about these diesel heaters, there's two different kinds. There's a hydronic, which actually runs a water heating system, and it runs through the motor as well. So it preheats the motor. It uses the hot water from that it heats up the coolant, basically the antifreeze or whatever you call it, in the engine system, in the engine block, and so it pumps it through there, and then it also pumps it through a small radiator box where you can, it's a heat exchanger where you can exchange the warm water. It runs across that little radiator, and then it blows hot air into the coach. Now, there's another one, another style, which is what I'm going to be installing in my coach, is a combination. It's a hydronic system. And it's also a system that also puts out hot air. It does both. And so you can actually run the heater, and it also keeps the engine warm itself. And you can also run the hot water off of that. You can run that to a blower system as well if you want to, run different banks around different places, which is probably what I'm going to do. Where the heater is going to be, it will put off hot air from there, and it's going to run into the main ducts, and then I'm probably going to run a couple of other ducts around. It's very fascinating because now you can tap off of your engine the actual chassis tank. So if you have a 100-gallon tank, and the thing will burn, on regular, just running it regular on a normal situation, you might burn half a gallon a day, or maybe a little bit more than that. With a 100-gallon tank, you can run that thing for almost half a year. Keep it hot, keep it warm in the coach, which is really nice for storing in the wintertime, other than the fact that critters like the warmth too, so they'll try to get in aggressively try to get inside. However, the nice thing is you can keep it warm and keep working there. I'm also going to put one on my boat, I'm going to just put a hot air system in that, but it runs off. That's a diesel as well. And I can, the biggest thing is in the wintertime, I can get in there and work inside the thing, and it's keep it nice and cozy while I'm working on stuff. Because I have to pull it out of the water in the summertime. So, or in the wintertime, I'm sorry. I have to pull out of the water in the wintertime. We pull it out usually in around October. And that way, you know, through the winter, I can actually keep it warm in there and actually be pleasant while I'm doing projects and then be ready to go in the spring rather than having to wait for it to get warm up in the spring in order to feel like I want to do anything. Just run it right off of the actual fuel tank that's in there, which is pretty convenient. So that's the plan at this point. We'll see how this all works out, but we're gonna try it. See if I can get all this stuff accomplished. In the meantime, I do want to say thank you for listening. I know listenership has been down a little bit recently. This is Topical Tuesday, I know, but I'm not really talking about any particular topics. This week, Financial Friday, I'm going to be talking about some things. I've got some clips already set up for that. I've got some things that Milton Friedman, we're going to talk a little bit about Milton Friedman and some of the things he used to say. Just some very common sense things about the market, about some things about capitalism and for open market, free market, and how it works, how it's supposed to work. How taxes, what taxes do to society and how they're supposed to work and what ends up happening. How everything gets involved with the politicians and how that all happens. It's just very, very good stuff. We'll be talking about that on this Friday. Thursday, basically, I'm hoping to kind of wrap up everything that's been going on this week. Like I said, tomorrow there probably will not be a show. Hopefully, just have a show on Thursday, and we'll get that done. And I don't know, I don't think that the new format is going to be done before the end of the month. However, it would be great if it was. I would love to have something working by the end of, or by the beginning of next week, actually. Looking at my schedule for next week, I will be, where will I be next week? It's a good question. In the meantime, folks, let me know what you think about what I think. 812-379-8778. Or you can go to the website. Send me a message. Let me know what you think. In the meantime, God bless. Have a great week. Take care. See you.